Well, hang on. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all here this morning. I want to start off reading a passage in John 10. Reading verses, if you want to follow along, you're welcome to, verses 1 through 18. John 10, 1 through 18. Most assuredly, I say to you, he does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, and they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration that they did not understand the things that he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep but sees a wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and am known by my own. And the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep that I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it. This commandment have I received from my Father." What I want to look at this passage here is focusing on the part of the sheep knowing the shepherd's voice. Something that I am recognizing is very... we need today. I don't know how many of you were aware of it, but in California this week, the governor said no singing in churches. For whatever reason, I'm not going to go into the political side of it, but that's what he said, no singing in churches. How long will it be till we lose our freedom together like we are today? I don't know that answer. But the more pressure that is put on us, the more important it is going to become that we know who we are, we know where we're going, and we know our master, which is Jesus. I believe we are in a time right now where the divide is getting greater. And if you're going through the form of Christianity, you're going to have to change up. Either you have to come real, or you'll go to the other side where you openly deny it. That gray is getting less and less. And I believe we have entered a time when if we don't understand this passage, we're going to get confused very quickly and not know which way to go in life. Because there's many voices, and the gray, like I said earlier, the gray is going to disappear. The one verse I want to highlight again is, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. What I'm seeing here is the personal side of God that he has for each one of us. He wants to know us personally. If I go down into the end of this passage in verse 27, is my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. When I look at this passage, and I'm not saying there's not more verses like this, but I believe this is the core of why we exist. This is the core of why God created the world in the first place, is my sheep hear my voice, and I, talking about Jesus, and I know him, them. That word know is a very intimate word. This is not a casual term. This is not, I met you one time and that's it. No, it's very personal and it's very close. And I believe this is the heartbeat of the Father that he wants today from every one of us, that he has a personal relationship with him. It is very easy in Christianity today. It's very easy to fall into this, that we go through the form of Christianity. We just walk it out. You can follow the Bible, which is good, but we can follow the Bible and totally miss the core of why we exist. And I believe the core is that the Father wants to know us. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to walk with us. He wants us to follow him. And when I see that word follow, it's very easy to get mixed up here. Too often I see we look at the Bible and say, do I have to do that? Am I required to do that? Well, if that's what I got to do to get to heaven, I will do it. But the truth is, I'd rather not. That is not what this passage is talking about. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. This is not a demand. This is not a force. This is a desire coming up within us to want to walk with the Father and want to have that relationship with him. And the Psalms, David in Psalms 119, and I think I'm not sure who all wrote Psalms 119, but here's some verses there. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. That's found in Psalms 119, 97. And Psalms 119, 165. Great peace have those who love your law. There's nothing that causes them to stumble. And what I'm seeing here is that desire to know God, that desire to walk in his ways that he wrote to us, that he delivered us through the scriptures and through that personal relationship, is not meant to put bondage on us. It's not meant to make life hard. It's not meant to be a drudgery. What it's meant for freedom. It's meant to be liberated. It's meant to enjoy life to the fullest. And I believe that's what the law does. Because what the law is to tell us is to show us how life operates the best. And once we can get a hold of that picture and we love it and we run with it, it becomes liberating. But if we chafe at it and we push back and we say, do I have to do this? We're missing the picture. The picture is to have that relationship and to realize that these things are meant for our benefit. That as we embrace them, we become liberated and we come into that relationship of knowing him. a little bit later on the end here, I want to also open up here that ways, what are some ways that you found to know the voice of God? And I want to focus that on the last part here is what are some practical ways? Because these are some questions that go through a lot of people's minds. I have talked to a lot of people. How do I know the voice of God? And this is a journey, but I believe it's important. This is not something you want to just push away, but this is something you want to learn. One very simple concept in this passage that we see, in this passage, it is talking about sheep. And the allegory that Jesus brought out here is that he is the shepherd, and the ones that follow him are his sheep. So the question that comes is, how about the lambs? And here's the suggestion that I would make to everyone. A lamb, the chances for a lamb not to know the shepherd's voice is very high. But what they do know is they know its mom. As they follow, as they mature and they follow its mother, it will get to know the master's voice. And I believe this allegory is the same for us Christians. If we're just starting in the journey of following God, there's a possibility it will be confusing and saying, how do I know when it's God speaking to me? How do we know this? I believe if we team up with someone that does know, they will help us. And through that, you will learn. Now, this next part here, it's going to be some of my personal experiences. And when I reflect on my life, when did I first hear the voice of God speaking to me? And it goes back to when I was 10 years old. It was the summer of 1993. I knew I was lost. It is the only thing I remember of that year. I knew I'm lost. I knew if I would die, I would go to hell. And it bugged me. And it was for a whole summer. Till I chose to say yes. When I chose to say yes, that evening I still clearly remember in my mind the peace that I found was incredible. That was the start of my journey in 1993 as far as following God. But that was the beginning. For some reason, as I continue to reflect over my life, and I look at how did I get to be where I am today, these are some things that stand out to me. It was when I knew what to do, but didn't do it. It's the clearest in my mind. I knew where I was supposed to, how I'm supposed to live, how I'm supposed to walk, and for some reason, I just pushed it off. Those are some of my early memories. Now, what are some more ways we can learn to know the voice of God? One is through the Bible, and I don't know how many of you have experienced this, but reading the Bible, and all of a sudden, you just see a message. And you know this is for you of how to respond to what you're supposed to do. That's God speaking. But the question comes, when we have those moments, what do we do with it? What I recognize this journey of following God and getting to know his heart, one thing that is very clear is obedience. And as we embrace the parts that we know, we get to know deeper and deeper the parts of the Father. So my desire for everyone here is when you know what to do, Don't push it off. It can be the simplest things. It can be as much as saying thank you. It's as much as being polite. It's the smallest areas. And this is for the children that are here. If you know what to do, if there's a pull in your heart that you know what you should do, be obedient to that nudging in your heart. Because as you're obedient, God will show you more things. You will get to know the voice of God as you're obedient to what you know God wants you to do. In this journey of getting to know the voice of God, in my family, there's some of my siblings and some of my nieces have a very sensitive conscience, and it almost drives them crazy sometimes. Are they living right enough? And it varies in different people. And one thing that I want to say on that subject is Satan condemns. What I mean by that is he will tell you what you're doing is not right, but he lets you hang. That's it. What the Holy Spirit does, it shows you where you made a mistake, but then it will show you how to correct it. There are some practical ways, the difference between the two. Because I have seen the destruction and the condemnation that can come through a sensitive conscience, where a person wants to do what is right, and it's like, no matter what they did I do this right enough? Or how about this? And the smallest things rob them from peace. It robs them from a joy. And that, I believe, is not the heart of the Father. And like it says here, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And one of the things in this journey, he wants to steal our joy. He wants to steal our peace. And he wants to steal our just the beauty of life. Because in our mind, we get condemned and saying, am I doing this right enough? I could have done a little bit more. And that's another picture that I often see is, yes, I did this, but I should have done just a little bit more. I should have done, yes, I did a little bit more, but now I should do just a little bit more. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us if he instructs us, we can fulfill it. And when you feel it, you find that peace. It's not like a little bit more. You did that good, but you could have done a little bit better. That to me is Satan destroying our peace. Those are some of my personal journeys on that, and I like to hear more of that because I believe we can learn from each other. And what are some ways that you have, as you walked out this Christian journey of getting to know the Father, what are some ways? And this here is the reason I want to share this is I believe we're all at different stages where we want to know the voice of the Father. And I believe it's very crucial. But everyone needs a beginning point. And what are some ways that you have learned that has helped you recognize the voice of the Father? Because it's usually not just a snap of the finger, now it's all clear. It's usually a journey. So I'd like to hear from you is what has been your journey in getting to know the voice of the Father? Alan, do you have a mic, or should I use this one? Anyone care to share some thoughts that you would have is how you got to know the voice of the Master? The voice of Jesus. What does it mean to you? How does God speak to you?
All right. When I really was able to start hearing the voice of the Father was when I started spending meaningful time with him. I just spent time with him. And then if I was walking somewhere, going somewhere, and God spoke to me, his voice became clear. I don't say I always did it perfectly and listened to it perfectly, but at least I was able to. I felt God was speaking to something. I think the biggest thing I say to people, it's better to make mistakes in hearing the voice of the Father than to do nothing at all. Because we have to walk that journey and we have to be okay with not hearing it perfectly and start to walk it out that way. That's been my journey.
Question for you, Jason. How much has obedience affected your life as far as hearing the voice of the Father?
It always is connected 100%. Because if I'm not willing to listen when that prompt comes, the next time the prompt is going to probably be much quieter. I won't forget the first time I was walking. This was not long after I told God, okay, you speak, I'm going to listen. I was in Effort at Walmart. This is, I'm about to go on a story.
Go ahead.
But as in Effort at Walmart, you know, this was 15 years ago probably. I remember walking in the store, walking down the aisle, and I felt God prompting to speak to that person. I'm like, oh, I have no clue who that person is. Once you're willing to listen to that first voice, I did eventually go and talk to that person. Next time the voice is much, it just keeps getting clearer as time. That's my experience.
Thank you.
So yes, obedience is a big part.
Any more thoughts that someone wants to bring out?
I know for myself, definitely something I'm in the process of still learning for. But I know some of the bigger decisions in my life would have been, I would have heard the voice of the Father more through just sensing it in my spirit. And I think the times, obviously, when you have a big decision in your life or things that you're really thinking about a lot, you're praying about those things, you're focused on those things, and I find that's the times, obviously, when I'm focused on it more, I'm able to hear the Father clearly. So many times you have so many other things in your mind that are clouding your thinking. But I think that for me is a big part, is just focusing on whatever it may be, and you know, if it is a big decision that needs to be made, really praying about it and focusing on that and being intentional about hearing the Father. So I think when it comes down to myself, a lot of times it's just a matter of spending, like Jason said, spending that time with the Father. To me, is a big thing, and that has happened in the Word as well. But I think for me, it's more just sensing it in my spirit, just the way I have to go.
Mm-hmm. The other way that is also out there is, if it's not clear, ask questions with people that you trust. Get input from other people. And usually, I'm just bringing out different ways. Is when God is speaking, you'll start to hear a common theme come out as you interact with other people and you ask them, "What do you sense God is showing us here?" And when God is speaking through different people, you tend to get a common theme going on to give you an idea which way to go. Any more thoughts that someone wants to share?
For me, one of the biggest things I had to learn is to take the time to listen. So many times life is so busy that we don't take that time to actually listen for his voice. And it takes a time where it needs to be quiet. Like a lot of times for me, I often have music playing or things going on. But unless I turned all that off and took that time to listen for his voice, and was intentional about hearing him, was I able to hear him?
Yes, I do agree with you there, Steve. Getting quiet, I believe, is another key factor in this journey. My mind goes Elijah in the scriptures, where he ran from Jezebel, and he saw the fire, he saw the wind, he saw the noise, but where it all came down to was a still small voice. And that happens when you get quiet. When you get quiet, we got so many gadgets right now. I mean, every one of us. I mean, gadgets are so cheap anymore. We have so many gadgets to fill our mind, to distract us, that I believe what God wants is he wants our time. Where we set those gadgets aside, we come before the Father and we get quiet. Whether it's reading the Word, whether it's hearing God in our spirit, but it's being quiet. And once you know how to walk and you become obedient to that, and those choices sometimes are very difficult, it can be life-changing. It can set you in a total different direction. But God is there to give us detailed direction. He did not bring us into this world to let us hang out there and just figure it out. He will walk with you if you want it. But you've got to be quiet. You've got to be obedient. And then always, it's not always clear. That's when you start asking questions. This is what I'm sensing. How does this sound to you? And I believe if we... Go ahead, Michael.
I agree with the points that were made about hearing God, how to hear God and everything. And one thing that I like to interject, building off of what you said, Steve, is other people. And I believe God created us to be relational, obviously relational us to God, but also relational to each other. And when there's decisions that are being made, I believe we do hear from God, but I believe it needs to be confirmed with people around us. There's a lot of decisions that affect a lot of people that I believe need to be confirmed with people around us. And I use that very, very much as a guide in my life in confirming that what I'm hearing is accurate, because we can misinterpret what is being shared to us. But people around us who we're relating to, like Steve said, help us hear what God is speaking. That's my perspective.
Thank you. Any more thoughts?
Yeah, I guess for me personally, I feel like I have, when I've learned to let go of condemnation and accusations, I was much better able to hear the voice of the Father, and it's still a journey that I'm still on. Letting go of those condemning thoughts gives room for the Holy Spirit.
Those condemning thoughts sometimes get so loud. And no matter which way we turn, they drown out everything else. And it is a journey to let go of, but I do want to say it is possible. It is possible. It is possible that what Jesus was saying here in John 10, that my sheep hear my voice, that if you're not experiencing it, what I am saying, it is possible. This is real. This is for us today. If you do not experience this, I would invite you to ask questions. Get quiet. Get other people's input. Some of the questions are, what is blocking that voice? And that that what's blocking that voice can be wrong belief systems about God. Is believing lies can block that voice. There's a lot of things that can block it. But I'm here to testify that it is possible to get free and to hear and have that close walk with the Father and to grow. That is possible for anyone here that is willing to let go of our own life and to reach out and bring God into it. Anyone else have? I really appreciate the thoughts that were brought out. Any thoughts? Because I love when there's more input here like this.
I guess this is more of a question, but I agree with what Michael said about listening to other people. Just one question is, how can you tell that what other people tell you is from God?
That's a journey. That is a journey. And I'm not sure I can say that I have the perfect answer for that. One verse that comes to my mind is, by your fruits you should know them. Is, are they living a life that is demonstrating a surrender sold out for the Father? Are they living a life being controlled by... I believe the two things in Christianity is either religion or a relationship. And when you watch someone's lifestyle, you can soon tell what comes through. Is it the form of Christianity, or is it a journey interacting with God? Another way, that's a very good question there, Daniel, because I experienced the very same thing, is as we cultivate this journey with the Father, and you're seeking input, and the Spirit of God is alive in you, when someone speaks something that is truth, it connects to the Spirit of truth that is in you, which is the Holy Spirit. In John 14, it talks about that, or 14, 15, 16, in that passage somewhere, I don't know the exact verse, but that the Holy Spirit will guide you into truth. So when someone speaks a truth and you have truth inside of you, but you just didn't find it yet, it connects. The other thing is that I want to say on top of that, if we're totally surrendered to the Holy Spirit and someone gives you input that is wrong and you have a desire to do what is right and you start going down that path of recommendation that's actually not truth, but you weren't sure, God will show you somewhere along the line. I'm convinced of the Holy Spirit that when we make mistakes in a desire, in an honest desire of wanting truth, and you make a mistake, you will get roadblocks along the way. I trust the Holy Spirit like that. Does that connect with you or not? And does someone else, I'm not sure if I gave very good answers, would someone else have some kind of input? Is how do we know what is spoken, if it's God speaking or just another source? Are there some other ways? Does anyone have any more thoughts? Okay. Does anyone else have something you want to share of how your journey was to get to know the Father's voice? Okay, I think that's all I... Oh, go ahead.
One thing that always tells me for sure that it's God's voice is if it's not necessarily my own life.
Yeah.
Like if I know that in my flesh I would never do that. And it's not necessarily my idea, but maybe it's just something new. It makes me think that usually that's one test of whether it's the voice of God or whether it's just my own thoughts.
But do not fear this subject. Do not fear saying, what if I heard wrong? What if I'm going down the wrong path? Because as we're open before God, the word promises us he will guide us. But when I believe where we go wrong is when we aren't willing to be 100% with God. But if we're 100% with God, he will guide you. Any other thoughts? I think that's all I have. Do you want to...